Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. These are increasingly challenging times, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends. Please join us on Facebook and Twitter to help spread the word. On May 27th through the 30th, Darren and Steve will be at the Survivalist Conference in Dallas. If you're interested in attending, just click on the banner on the Survive to Thrive site and the show gets credit. We would love to meet our listeners. Drop by the EnerHealth Botanicals booth just by the entrance to the conference. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, a full line of herbal tinctures, Coco Mojo, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts. Or call them at 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And coming to you in the aftermath of destruction, I come to you with a report from the wall. It's arriving, my friends. The dreaded events that we've been talking about for years, the dreaded events that make their mark and leave a wake of broken toys and a trail of tears. The season is underway, folks. The land of America had an appointment and a mandate to be shaken. And it's not easy talking about this. It's not easy explaining this season to a person that does not understand. But folks, we must understand. Judgment has begun, my friends. And it's been underway for several years now. And every time I get behind this microphone, I talk about it. I have to. God has called me to do this. So here we are, once again talking about it. Several weeks ago, I was seeking God in my prayer chamber, in my prayer closet, and the Holy Spirit whispered a verse to me. Just a few words. Weeping in Ramah is coming. I was stunned when I heard it. It got my attention. I didn't want it to happen, but I know that it would, and I knew what it meant. Weeping in Ramah. It's the sad account of a mother's experiencing a loss of a child. It's the story that's recorded in Scripture when Jesus was an infant and Herod killed all the babies. And I've talked about this before in the past, but I just want to mention it again, folks. Because when God told me those words, I began to travail and I said, God, are you saying that that's for me? And God said, that's what's coming. It's what's coming to the land. So over the past several weeks on this program, I've shared that sorrow's coming. Folks, if you've been listening to this program and you haven't missed any shows over the last few weeks, you've heard me talking about grief and sorrow. Grief is coming. But how does a person talk about this? How does a person report this? How does a person get behind a microphone and tell the world that funerals are coming? I've tried to share that judgment's going to bring tears and lamentation. The lamentation's not going to happen just because the food pantries of people are going to run dry and they may find themselves hungry, or because maybe their power is out and they don't have a generator. That's not the reason for the lamentation. The reason for the lamentation that is coming upon this land is because there's going to be a body count. And thus, please, my friends, please begin your moments of solitude now in advance to ask for God's protection, and to ask for his mercy. In the book of Lamentations 2:19, I have shared this verse. And if you haven't heard me share this, or if you have not gone to that passage of scripture, my friends, I encourage you, go there, mark it, highlight it, print it out, put it on your fridge, tape it to your Bible, to your bedpost, to remind you of what it says. And this is what Lamentations 2:19 cites. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. You know what that means, folks? Pouring out your heart like water? That's not casual. It means you're crying out with earnest passion, with determination, with tears. It means that you're burrowing into the throne room of God. It means that you're grabbing onto the horns of the altar with a white knuckle grip and you're crying out to God. And it goes on and it says, lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children. That's not a casual suggestion, my friends. This is an admonition, a call to arms to pray for your children now. And the only way that you're going to be heard when you cry out to God and pray for your children is if you have done your own spiritual homework. And if you have been spending your times of solitude and solemn assemblies with God to deal with what needs to be dealt with earnest passion, my friends, with determination. Why? Why am I saying this? Because the dark clouds are hovering over the land now. The whirlwind is spinning, and we must be under God's wing when these whirlwinds arrive. These whirlwinds, my friends, tornadoes, whirlwinds of destruction. Great events are arriving right now. Folks, there is no chance of your survival without God. I cannot stress that enough. We had another killer tornado in Joplin, Missouri, just a few days ago. By now, most of you know about this. Came out of nowhere in an afternoon. And folks, think about that. On the morning before the tornado arrived in Joplin, the citizens of that city woke up. They ate breakfast. They ate their cereal. They mowed their lawns. They went shopping. They lived their lives. They went to and fro and did their things. But by nightfall, by the evening, the city was no more. Great sorrow has arrived in Joplin. Weeping in Ramah has arrived in Joplin. A dark black tornado has arrived in Joplin. And right now there is great shock upon the faces of so many people in Joplin. Faces of many who want to know why. Why did this happen? Why would God allow this? And some are even tempted to be angry at God and to blame him. Have you wondered about this, folks? Have you had those thoughts? Have you been tempted to blame him? And this is the reason that I have been called to this ministry, to explain these things. Folks, behind the pulpits today, in many, many big box mega churches, the people are not being told why. They are not being told what time it is. They are not being told what season we are in right now. They come to church and they sit there and get a morsel, an appetizer, and then they leave. But they're not told to be vigilant. They're not told to step up their spiritual vigils. They're not told to increase the spiritual fitness and to undo the lack thereof. My friends, the season has changed. The judgment is now here. The judgment is tangible. It is real. It's not just a story in a newspaper. It's not just a headline on CNN. This thing is real and it is affecting lives. Over the past few years, I have asked God many times, many of those questions. I asked him several years ago, in fact, when China had their earthquake. And I was looking at the images of the bodies and the people crying, weeping, wailing, holding their dead young ones in their arms. This was several years ago. And I asked God, why? God, why? That mom's holding a child. Why? God answered. God said, because we're in the days of sorrow now. It's the days of the birth pangs. And because sorrow means sorrow. God told Isaiah to speak to the pagans of the land and to tell them that the judgment was coming. And God also said this, Isaiah, they're not going to listen. And here's why. In Isaiah 8, chapter 20, it says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And as a result, Isaiah 8:21, they are going to pass through it, hard-pressed and hungry. Pass through what? Pass through the judgment. It means that they're going to experience the judgment without knowing why. Hungry for the word of God. Hungry for truth. They're going to pass hard-pressed and hungry for the real word of God. And they'll pass through And it shall happen that when they're hungry, and not just hungry for a morsel in their stomach, this is talking about hungry for a word from the Lord to know why. When they pass through and they're hungry, they are going to be enraged, and they will curse their king, and they will curse their God, and they will look upward. And then they will look to the earth, and they will see the trouble. They will see the darkness, the gloom, the anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So according to the passage in Isaiah 8, when judgment arrives upon a people, and if the people do not understand why, if they don't have a word from the Lord in their hearts and they're hungry, my friends, they're not going to know why. And they're going to be left wondering. And many of them will even find themselves shaking their fists to the heavens and cursing God. And that's why we can read in the book of Revelation that many will curse God. Many will not repent. And during the season of shaking, there's going to be a blindness that overtakes the people. The closer that we get to the end, the worse the darkness is going to get, and the worse the blindness is going to get. My friends, I see that happening right now. There are many enemies of God now in the land. There are many that are quick to vocalize their hatred of God and of Christians. And the darker the judgment becomes, the madder they're going to get. Why? Because they're in darkness and there's no light. So as a result, they'll just find themselves screaming to the heavens and screaming the words, why? Why, God? Why? Children have died. Why, God? Why would you let this happen? What kind of loving God would allow this? Shame on you, God. Why? Many Christians may even say this. And to suggest that what we see happening is the continuation of the saga of judgment, if you tell the wrong person, my friend, it's very possible you will be met with anger. How dare you say that? How dare you blame God? God is a God of love. He would not do this. This was not God. It was climate change. It was just life. It was Satan. It was the evil government. It was HARP that did it. But my friends, when we look at how and why as far as the natural explanations, behind it all, God is sovereign. And God allowed it. So to answer the question why, again, my friends, it's because we're in the days of sorrow. We are in the days of Matthew 24. We're in the days of judgment. And sorrow means sorrow. Sorrow means many tears. Sorrow means awake. It means death and funerals. My friends, it's not joyful to say this. Sorrow means a body count. And my friends, at some point or another, everyone is going to have a turn. To answer the question why, it's because it was Joplin, Missouri's turn. It was their turn. And they didn't know it was going to be their turn when they woke up. But now we know it was their turn. Tomorrow, it's going to be someone else's turn. Next month, perhaps it'll be my town. Perhaps it will be your town. Perhaps it'll be our area. Everyone is going to have their turn, my friends. And when our turn arrives, where are you going to be spiritually? Are you going to be familiar with the admonition of Lamentations 2:19 of pouring out your heart like water to God for the safety of your children, holding them up with uplifted arms? Will you be familiar with that? Will you have been exercising that when it's your turn? Folks, this is not easy to talk about. I know that. I know it's not easy to hear these things. It's not easy to share these things, but folks, this is where we are. We have to be ready. We have to know that everyone's going to have a turn. We're there. By the way, my friends, if some of you may be hearing this and you're saying, Nathan, I want to be ready. I want to have those times of solitude with God, but I don't know where to start. My life is a train wreck. My life is a mess. My life is an embarrassment. I have regrets. I don't know where to start. Sometimes I even wonder if there's any more hope for me, if there's any more chances. I know God is the God of a second chance, but if you only knew how many chances I've taken, my friend, as long as you still have breath, and as long as you still have hunger and a desire to fix the mess that your life may be in, you still have hope. If you have not heard my recent message, number 162, The Violent Take It By Force, I want to encourage you to please, my friends, please make this one of the top priorities that you do in the next few days. Go to my website at watchmanscry.com, download that message, take a lot of notes, get your Bible out. It's going to explain how to get out of this mess, the mess that you may be in. Those messages are for the purpose of throwing lifelines to those that need them. The messages that God gives me to share are messages to bring hope, to bring renewal, to bring revival, and to re-spark the candle that may have grown dim in the lives of so many people. My friends, go there. It's free. Just download it and listen to it and make it your assignment, folks. Now, as I was saying, during the times that all of this is going on, it's going to get darker and darker and darker. And that is why we can read the parable of the 10 virgins when Jesus talked about having our lamps full of oil. He talked about the wise virgins having lamps. If you remember in that parable, folks, it says at the midnight cry, it was said to go meet the bridegroom. At midnight, it's dark. And that's why we need to have lamps, because what that's saying, that's a hint right there. What it is saying is during the time of the end, it's going to be dark. There are going to be many people without light, without understanding. And that's what that means, without light. It means not having understanding of the season, of what's happening all around us. That's why we need to have light inside of us. And folks, that only happens through spiritual renewal. It only happens through dedicated time with God. My friends, I challenge all of you to be very, very watchful and vigilant, especially if you're a parent. If you are a parent and you have little ones, they're under your care. They're under your stewardship for now. So please be challenged to step up. Step up to the plate and be the spiritual leader of your household, to hold them up for protection. Now, one thing that's going to happen when we're challenged to seek God and get closer to Him, your flesh is not going to want to do this. Your flesh wants to only do things that do not challenge it. And you know what, folks? It's unfortunate, but it's true. Many people who call themselves the remnant, that listen to programs like this, that listen to programs that Steve Quayle might put out, or the other people that expose the New World Order, the Alex Jones type programs. Many people who are awake may lay claim to knowing about the New World Order and the 9/11 truth movement. But if those people are challenged to go into their hiding place and to repent and seek God and to do some house cleaning, their flesh is not going to want to do this. It is way easier to just download programs like this and hear about the doom and hear about what's coming and get scared instead of dealing with house cleaning. I'm pretty sure that most of you know that this is true. It's way easier hearing about how HAARP caused the Joplin tornado, or how HAARP caused the Japanese earthquake, and to get mad at HAARP and to be mad at the government. It's easy to do that, but it takes tenacity. It takes a real man and woman of God to look at ourselves in the mirror and to deal with what your flesh doesn't want to deal with. My friends, we're there. In the second half of the program, I'm going to talk more about that tornado. We're going to talk about what's happening with new tipping points that have arrived now, with the dollar, with war that is inevitable. We're going to talk about a lot of the things that are coming. And I'm going to give you your dose of doom. But first of all, I just want to challenge you with this, my friends. Knowing about doom means nothing if you're not ready. Because just like the people in Joplin, who lived and who died? Who survived and who was injured? Was it pure chance? Was it just fate? Was it just their time? Or is it possible that according to where they were spiritually, some people found God's mercy? Now, I know that there is an appointed time for all of us to go. And I'm not saying that there's not. But is it possible that we can survive those things based on the spiritual bank account that we have? Folks, all we can do is try. And I would rather try and do some homework than not try and just let the statistics happen. That's why I'm mentioning these things, folks. And that's why I'm here behind this microphone, to share these things. By the way, real quick, I want to say, if you appreciate these messages, we can only exist through your support, my friends. So take it to God. And if you appreciate the messages and you've been blessed by them, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Also, my friends, I want to say this. I've read a recent news account that Obama has some legislation that, if passed, would allow the U.S. government to unplug some websites, forums, news sites, blogs, if there's any indication that they have linked to any copyrighted news site. So in other words, if a website has put a link to a Reuters story or a Bloomberg story, and maybe they gave a few sentences of the story, if this legislation passes, it would give the excuse for the administration to unplug those websites or to make those websites unseen on search engines. So they might still exist on a server, but if someone types them in to Google, it won't come up. And also they could take away the redirect so that if someone types in the URL, it won't come up. So that legislation is being debated right now. And if that thing passes, folks, nothing surprises me anymore with Mr. Obama in the White House. It's obvious that he's been placed in there to dismantle this country and to erase the freedoms of the Constitution. So, my friends, there's a possibility that the alternative media that so many of us depend on could be unplugged in the future. And that's why I have continued to share the backup plan. If that happens, we'll have to switch to email messages where I'll email whoever's on my list the sermons and the messages that I have. Hopefully that'll still be allowed to work, but the plan C is, if that happens, I will send out physical CDs of regular messages. So go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link to send me your snail mail address. Folks, please do not delay so that we can be ready and so that there will be no downtime. Also, there's some other projects I'm working on. I'm getting some requests to explain how the rapture is not pre-trib. So I'm working on an outline right now, and I plan to put out a message. Hopefully it'll be in YouTube. It'll be available free where everyone can download and watch it to explain to your loved ones why the rapture is not pre-trib. So it's going to go into a lot of verses, and it's going to show some areas that I'm pretty sure that you have not seen before. I know that there's other teachings and videos out there that explain that the pre-trib rapture is not true, but these are some things that the Holy Spirit has helped me to uncover while I've been seeking Him. So I'm excited about that. Folks, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of tools that we're going to need spiritually to weather what's coming. A lot of spiritual tools that really aren't talked about much from pulpits today. We're going to need to talk about those things. So, folks, I'm excited about the things that God has been showing, because we're there, folks. The judgment started in a few years ago. I believe we're 2 to 3 years into this, but we are far from it being finished. We'll probably have another 5 to 10 years to face this, the fourfold judgment. Out of this judgment, I see war being inevitable. I see the economic collapse of America being inevitable. And the New World Order is going to rise up out of this judgment. Now, possibly also out of this judgment, we could also find ourselves stepping into the tribulation. And that's the gray area of the dark glass that a lot of us are trying to figure out. Is this judgment going to turn into the tribulation? Do we have some time left before the tribulation? Do we have years and years? Those are the questions that we're looking at, folks. And those are the things we talk about here on this program. Well, we're at the halfway mark. We'll see you on the other side, and we will continue. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's 2 little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about the season that is underway right now and trying to understand what time it is. And, you know, folks, I get a lot of emails from individuals. Some of you have emailed me and you've given me your findings that you have sought out with God. And it's real interesting that I've gotten emails that when I read them and compare them side by side, you know, one Christian can say, God told me that the tribulation started last September. And then another email will come in, God told me that the tribulation is going to start next June or January. Arbitrary dates. You know, folks, it says no man knows the day or the hour, but we can know the season. We can understand the signs of the times. We can be vigilant and see. And we can also listen to the Holy Spirit who tells us to get ready. And to be on guard and to be vigilant. So I try my best to be very careful about stating with absolute certainty that the tribulation started last fall or 2 years ago, or it's going to start this fall. I don't want to place myself in that position because, in my opinion, I don't think it's wise. Because if we're wrong, boy, do we look silly. One thing I do know, though, my friends, we're in the season of judgment. We're in Matthew 24. We're at the preliminary portions of events that are mentioned in Matthew 24. The wars and the rumors of wars, the plagues. Also, I know this. God is shaking the land. God is shaking the church. He is purging his people, and he's going to judge the world. That part is obvious. So if this judgment, this shaking, this purging, this season that we're in lasts for 5 or 10 years, this is what I was trying to say. After we come out of this season, and the New World Order rises up, which I do expect to happen, the New World Order beast. Will there be a downtime where all of the infrastructure of the New World Order will be put into place for several years? And then finally, when all of the pieces are in place, then will the tribulation start? So in other words, do we have 5 or 10 years of judgment, and then the New World Order gets their ducks in a row for a few years, and then the tribulation starts? Or are we in the time of sorrow? And judgment's happening right now, and we're going to step right in to the next season of the tribulation. There will be no downtime. So out of what's happening right now, the New World Order will rise up very, very quickly, thus fulfilling Revelation 13, where it says the beast rose up out of the sea, and then we're there. Boom, we're there. Those two scenarios, that's what I admit, my friends. I don't know. I really don't know. I got an email from someone that actually laid out a very interesting calendar of events that explained that the tribulation started last year and the seals they're starting to be open. And it was interesting. I read it, but I still don't know if it's true. If it is true, then things are really, really going to start cooking real, real soon because the tribulation is only going to last for so long. So those are the things that I wonder about, folks. And one thing that I think that we should all be cautious about, and I'm also working on another project that's going to explain this. I shared a program on my website at watchmanscry.com several years ago, and it talked about At the end of time, history is going to repeat itself just like it did in the first advent. And what that means is the people who thought they had prophecy figured out are going to find that it's not going to happen like they thought. And the reason that I have said that and shared that is because when we look at the first advent, when Jesus came as a child, I am sure there were a lot of John Hagees and Hal Lindsey's and teachers out there doing their conferences explaining how Messiah was going to arrive and take over Israel and set them free from Roman bondage. I'm sure they had it all figured out. But when Jesus was born, folks, think about this. How many people really knew he was born? How many of the Israelis, the Jews, knew that he was born and they were there? Was it hundreds of thousands? Was it tens of thousands? Was it thousands? Because surely a lot of those thousands heard the report on how it was going to happen. But unfortunately, none of them knew that Jesus was born. They didn't get it. The shepherds were told by angels. If they weren't told by the angels, they wouldn't have known. So how many really knew? The only ones that had it figured out and that were seeking out Jesus were the wise men from the east. And think about this, folks. The wise men were not even citizens of Israel. They were not Jews, quote unquote. They weren't, quote unquote, children of God. And it was only a handful of them. Just a handful knew. Not one person from the, quote unquote, body of believers back then knew. So how many were wise back then? Not many. It says in the book of Daniel chapter 12, the wise will understand, but the wicked will not understand. So when Jesus comes again, how many wise ones will there really be? If history is going to repeat itself and Ecclesiastes says what has been will be once again, folks, I submit that many who think that they are wise and think that they have it figured out are going to find themselves just like ancient Israel, scratching their heads saying, wow, I didn't see that coming. And it's for that reason that I'm trying to be very careful about announcing that, yes, we're in the tribulation or no, we're not. Also, I want to throw this out, folks, and this is an entirely other matter, but I'll just say it real quick. The cast of characters that we find in end time prophecy, the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of the events that are supposed to happen when Daniel 9:27 happens, when the quote unquote Antichrist goes into the temple and claims to be God, stopping the sacrifice, all of those things, I submit this also, my friends. There is a real, real high probability based on what I'm reading in scripture that the way that we have been told a lot of those things are going to play out and happen are false. They're not going to happen like we think they're going to happen. God's going to throw a giant curveball and surprise many people. Results, the mileposts, the mile markers, the signs that the church is looking for are the wrong signs. And I'll even throw this one out. The peace treaty that is supposedly supposed to happen with Israel for 7 years, I don't see that one happening, folks. Now, right now, there's probably people in shock. Nathan, how dare you say that? Well, that's a traditional teaching, but I do not see that one happening. I think it's going to happen differently. And it would take a long time to explain all these things. And like I said, I'm working to explain these things. The abomination of desolation is not going to happen like Hal Lindsey tells us it's going to happen. And how John Hagee tells us. God is going to throw a curveball, folks. The abomination of desolation is not the Antichrist going into the temple and claiming to be God. It is something else. In fact, to believe that that's what it is, if it was really explained according to what God has been showing me lately, I think many people that are a part of the body of Christ would actually find themselves a little embarrassed for thinking it that way. Now, I'm pretty sure some people are in shock right now. Some of you might be getting angry, but my friends, what has been in the past is going to happen again. Only the wise will understand. There was only a handful of wise ones the first time around. In the second time around, there's only going to be a handful once again. And folks, think about this. Many, many people have heard about the teaching of the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture that's going to save everybody. Even the wicked have heard about that theory. But in Daniel 12, it says the wicked will not understand. So if the wicked believe in the pre-tribulation rapture and they think they even understand that, even though they admit, okay, I won't be ready, but grandma's going to be gone someday. She'll disappear because God's going to take away the Christians. Well, if the wicked believe that that's going to happen based on Daniel 12, where it says the wicked will not understand, that means it's false. It's not going to happen. Also, there is a great darkness that we talked about in the first half that is coming upon the land, a great darkness where people cannot see the truth of events. And many of you that try to explain to your loved ones and friends what time it is, they look at you with glazed over eyes and they contest your words. We're not in judgment. No, we're not. God doesn't do that. Judgment's only for the Old Testament, etc., etc. Many of you have heard the arguments. They don't want to believe it. Why is that? It's because there's a crust over their eyes. They cannot see the light of what's really happening. So up until the very time of the end when Jesus arrives in the clouds, there's going to be darkness. So the people will not really know what is happening. In fact, get this, folks. Think about this. Up until the time where Jesus pokes through the clouds on his horse, followed by 10,000s of his saints, up until that point, most citizens of the earth will not even know that we're in the tribulation. In fact, I also submit this. Most Christians will not even know that we're in the tribulation. They won't know. And the reason I say that is because in the first advent, they didn't know. Even when Jesus started his ministry around Galilee, they didn't know. Jesus even said that. This is a adulterous generation. They cannot see the signs of the times. They didn't know the hour of their visitation. They didn't know. Now, according to the traditional exciting account or rendition of the end time tribulation that Hal Lindsey or Tim LaHaye has painted for all of us, according to their narrative, everyone knows we're in the tribulation because the rapture happened, and so most people will suspect that something's going on. Well, since the pre-tribulation rapture is false, what are they going to have to go by? Good question. And that is why in the book of Luke, it says that they would be marrying and building and planting. They will be living their lives like nothing is going on because they will not know that it's happening. Most people will not know, my friends. And that's why it says in Revelation chapter 1 that the earth will mourn when they see Jesus arrive. Why will they mourn? Because it's going to be the biggest, greatest, uh-oh moment in the history of humankind. What do I mean by that? The world is going to say, uh-oh, because they're going to know that God is real. All this time I denied that Jesus was real, and wow, he's in the sky right now. Uh-oh. Wow, I got on forums and denied God and denied Christ. I posted threads that hated Christianity. Uh-oh. Wow, I spent all my time in this Wiccan coven, but Jesus is real. Uh-oh. Or how about this, folks? I've been attending church. I've been hearing the challenge to repent, to convert, to be born again, and I kept putting it off. Now Jesus is here. It's too late for me. Uh-oh. And I could go on, but the reason that they're going to mourn and say uh-oh is because they did not know that we were in the tribulation. And that is why, my friends, that as the tribulation starts, it's not going to be with a giant billboard announcement. CNN is not going to get on TV, and Wolf Blitzer's not going to say, you know, folks, it looks like that period of time the Christians talk about has begun. So put on your seatbelts. It's going to be an interesting ride. The news is not going to say that. That's why it's up to us as remnant believers to be watchful and to try to be aware of the signs and mileposts that Jesus, that God, that the prophets have shared with us, and to be looking for them. And that's also why we need to have the spiritual and biblical integrity, honest integrity, to be able to examine the supposed signs we're supposed to be looking for. And we need to ask ourselves, as Bereans, is there a possibility that it could take place differently? Is there a possibility that the abomination of desolation can take place differently than when I was taught? Is it possible that this beast that I've been hearing about is not going to look like what we've been told? Will it look different? This false prophet, is he going to be one guy walking around with incense like a pope, hypnotizing everybody? Or is it something different? You see, my friends, that takes wisdom and that takes humbleness to be willing to ask those questions. If you happen to be a minister of the gospel and you have your belief and your interpretations of eschatology and you have it entirely figured out, I want to challenge you with this admonition. My friend, be willing to ask God and the Holy Spirit if possibly some of the ways that we're looking at being interpreted could be wrong. Now, I spent more time than I wanted to on these things, folks, but I've been wanting to mention those things for a while, because when the tribulation does start, again, my friends, it may not be with bells and whistles and alarms and tornado sirens. So we may have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And may I even say this, my friends? It may be possible. I don't think, but I'll say this. It may be possible that some of the seals have already started being opened. It may be possible that perhaps we're a few days into the tribulation or a few months. I don't know. But I want to be honest with myself and with you, and I think that we need to be honest with one another. Folks, 2011 started with a bang. 2011 has not subsided. 2011 has brought events to America and to this planet that have continued to just shake, to shake everything that we thought was stable. And we're not even at the middle of this year. We have another month before the midpoint of this year. So what's in store for the second half? My friends, I submit this. The second half of 2011 is going to be explosive. We are going to see storms raging. We're going to see hundreds and hundreds of tornadoes that still are going to arrive and bring destruction and havoc. We're going to see hurricanes. Are we going to see a season of killer hurricanes? And if so, where are they going to be? Which city has been destined for these killer hurricanes? Is another Katrina going to happen? Is Texas going to have the big one? Is Galveston going to have another one? How about Georgia, Florida? Which city is going to experience these things? And when they happen, my friends, once again, are you going to be ready? Will you have your account, your prayer account that you've been working on in heaven, where you held up your family and loved ones, and you had that solemn assembly with God? My friends, this world is approaching critical mass. This world is approaching a nuclear fission of events on a global scale. What's going to be the next catalyst? What's going to be the cause of the next stick of dynamite? Harold Camping had a failed prophecy. He said that God was going to come on the 21st. And of course, we know that that didn't happen. A failed prophecy, folks. And now he changed it. Now it's going to be October, I think, 21st. He changed it once again for the third or fourth. I lost count. But what he has done is not wise. Because according to some reports that I've read, some individuals believed him. So I've heard all around the world, there have been people that committed suicide because they didn't want to face what was going to come after the great disappearance, the rapture. They didn't want to face the judgment. So they killed themselves. And my friends, that is why we talk about judgment right now in advance, because we can be in the right position with God to face these things. We can be wise. We can do some of the wise earthly things to prepare in our finite way, with our strength, with the wisdom that God gives us, and with the tools that he gives us, the supplies that he gives us. We can try. I don't want to see your hearts failing for fear. I don't want to see you overwhelmed with perplexity when these things happen. That's why we're talking about it. In the first half, I mentioned that I want to talk about what happened in Joplin, and I want to just talk about that briefly. When I was researching some of the stories about the tornado in Joplin, I came across a YouTube video of a first-person account of some individuals who were inside of a, it looked like a supermarket or a convenience store when the tornado hit. And when I listened to this thing, folks, I was amazed. It was so intense to hear people actually facing what could be their final moments on Earth. So I want to play that audio for you right now. So listen to this, folks.
Carl, get away from the window.
Everybody back up.
Back up. Where did you get
the door? Hey, where do you want me to put everybody? Of course, back by the beer cooler.
I'm so sorry.
At least probably 10 or 12.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Hey, is that Diane?
There's probably 18 or 19.
Man, look at that.
That's why I'm winning.
Yeah.
No,
they haven't yet. The sirens aren't going.
But yeah, they did.
What?
Yeah, they did.
That's
as they we were
coming
in here.
This is getting real.
Somebody's door. Everybody get down. Low on the ground.
Sit right here.
I don't know. I don't know if I left it in the car or what.
Show if you left it in the car.
Where's Karen? What? Okay.
You need it.
Get inside that. What is that room we're in?
Some stuff's breaking in the back.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Can we go in the cooler? Yeah.
Go, go, go!
I'm trying to put less weight on him, though.
Ma'am, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Who's right here? Is that you right below me?
Yeah.
That's not someone else?
No.
We're not moving anywhere. We're not moving anywhere. The building, the structure of the building may not be safe to move much.
Glad we got that. I'm glad we got that.
Wow, was that incredible? When I first heard this audio, it gave me chills. I played it for my wife, and she actually found herself weeping. And some of the people that I've spoken to that have heard this, it brings tears to your eyes because it actually puts you there. You know, it made me wonder when I was listening to that, what is it going to be like when we finally meet our fate? Are we going to be able to meet it with confidence, or are we going to find ourselves with regret, wishing that we would have done some things a little differently? And that's why I continue to challenge all of us to always be there with God and to be at the right place with Him, because as this season continues underway, folks, we have to be under the shelter of His wing. By the way, I really believe that the reason these people survived was because I could hear some of them crying out to Jesus, and you could hear them praying. I heard one person saying, "I love everybody." That was incredible, folks. You know, those words were a song. There were music to the ears of those that understand heaven and eternity, because what a great testament this was, that instead of cursing God and saying blasphemy, they were calling out to God. Folks, I have never been in a tornado, so I have not experienced what the people of Joplin experienced, but based on the images that I have already seen, it looks like a war zone occurred in Joplin. It looks like a bomb went off and destroyed most of that city. Reports have come out that about 75% of Joplin has been destroyed. That is incredible, my friends. And the level of destruction is on a level that is just hard to fathom. The big box stores that are in Joplin were demolished. The Walmart was destroyed. The Home Depot was destroyed. An Academy surplus was destroyed. And I have to wonder, based on the images that I saw of these buildings, the steel beams collapsed and some of the walls caved in. I can't imagine how some people could have survived if they were in the aisles of some of these stores. So far, they've said a little over 100 people have died. I believe it's 118 at the last report. But I really can't see how that number is going to stay that low. I've seen some news reports that some people were listening to the scanners in Joplin, and reports were coming in from different police officers and sheriffs and emergency response teams. They need 10 body bags here. They need 20 body bags there. I saw some of the pictures of the vehicles. They were twisted tin cans. I read one account of an individual that was with his father, and they were unable to get away from the tornado. And the son, his name's Will Norton, who was in a seatbelt, was ripped out of his seatbelt and sucked out through his sunroof. And he's still missing. So his family's still looking for him. The amount of force that could do that is just unbelievable and incredible. I heard another account of a woman who was hiding in her bathroom with her children, and a telephone pole went right through her house and into the bathroom, and it crushed and killed her 10-year-old child. She survived with injuries, but her 10-year-old was killed. Stories like that are coming out, and it's hard to imagine that only a little over 100 people have died. One of the directors of the response team said that there are 1,500 people that are still unaccounted for in Joplin. Some of those people could be individuals that maybe their cell phones aren't working or they left in advance. But, you know, folks, I could really see the number climbing into the hundreds and hundreds, if not into the thousands of dead. Now, one of the things that I've noticed that is a pattern for emergencies and catastrophes over the last few years is that, now I cannot prove this, but it seems that FEMA and the United States government will lower the number of the actual dead. I've seen and heard reports after Katrina and also Hurricane Ike that struck Houston a few years ago in Galveston. And I have also heard this from the hurricane that struck Florida, that when the dead count is in the hundreds or even in the thousands, it is artificially lowered. For whatever reason, they do this. And I could very well see them doing this for the outcome of this tornado in Joplin, because it just looks incredible. The hospital that was destroyed, according to the reports, had its entire top floor removed. All of the windows were blown out. Several of the people that were in intensive care died. It's unbelievable, the destruction and devastation that Joplin's feeling right now. Folks, they're going to need our prayers. In 08, the United States had almost 1,700 tornadoes. 1,700, folks. Almost half of the tornadoes happened between January through May in 08, but from June through December, they had almost another 700 tornadoes. So we're not finished with the tornado season, folks. Even last year, there were 775 tornadoes from June through December. So we still have a lot more coming. This year is not finished. So that is why I was saying that I can see a lot more destruction for America. As this judgment continues, we're going to see drought in some parts of the country. Texas is experiencing a great drought. Many of the cattle ranchers are having to cull their herd of cattle because there's not enough grass to feed them. And folks, when we consider the harvest that is coming this fall, how much land in the Midwest and in the heartland right now is undergoing a great strain of destruction? When we look at the Mississippi River, a lot of cropland is not going to be yielding the harvest that we usually forecast. It means that food's going to become very expensive. So in the remaining parts of this year, it looks like the United States is going to be facing a dollar crisis. Greece is already facing a debt crisis. They're selling their assets to try to lower their debt load. They're trying their best. The United States has reached our debt ceiling, and right now Congress, the GOP and the Democrats are arguing back and forth. Do we raise the debt ceiling again or do we default? That's what they're discussing right now, folks. If the GOP votes to not raise the debt ceiling, the United States is scheduled to default this coming August. There's going to be ramifications if that happens. And some of them are saying, let's just go ahead and experience the pain. We have to do it sometime. Let's do it now. And by the way, I want to give a quick flashback of a prophetic dream that the Holy Spirit gave me several months ago. Folks, do you remember the dream where I talked about the eagle that landed in my chicken coop and it was very weak? It was starving. It was skinny. And it went into my chicken coop and it laid down on the ground and it started taking eggs out of the nests from where my hens lay their eggs and it started eating them. And out of that prophetic dream, this is what it meant. It meant that the eagle, which represents the United States government, is going to eat the nest eggs of America. I still believe that that's going to happen. Translation, I believe that the U.S. government is going to raid retirement accounts. All of you that have retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, pensions, I believe that that's a warning from God that eventually the United States is going to do that. So that's one thing that you need to be praying about. I've received emails from some of you saying that you went ahead and cashed in, you paid the penalty, but you'd rather cash in rather than the U.S. government stealing your money and promising that they'll take care of you. So that's what we're facing in the future. That's one event. Also, it looks like we're facing war. The drumbeats of war are being sounded right now with Pakistan. It also sounds like Israel is making an announcement that it is not going to allow Iran to ever get nuclear weapons. Benjamin Netanyahu made a speech to Congress earlier today where he said that very thing. And there were hints that he might do something about it. I don't know if he's saying that he's going to bomb Iran or that he knows it's just going to come out of what's happening in the Middle East. But based on the speech that he made, the leadership of the Palestinians have said that it was a declaration of war against the Muslims. So we have the drumbeats of war happening there. And getting back to Pakistan, China has said in so many limited words that we better watch it and we better not attack Pakistan again. We better restrict our drones and our bombings of Pakistan territories because if we continue to bomb Pakistan, China said if we attack Pakistan, that is us attacking them. That means we're attacking China. Also, we have Iran building missile bases in South America that are going to be aimed at us. There are so many things going on, my friends. The things that we are facing are in for the long haul. So may I admonish you, continue your vigilance. Put on the helmet of salvation and not the helmet of Babylon. Put on the helmet of salvation so that you can hear the voice of God and not the helmet of Babylon where you can hear the words of man. Put on the helmet of salvation so you can hear words of hope and truth and not the helmet of Babylon where you will hear the words of lies and deception. My friends, we're there. I can't stress it enough. And since we're there, let us be located with God in the shelter of his hiding place. God bless you, folks. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.